Hello, everybody. As promised, we've got a huge legal YouTuber with us this evening, and with multiple YouTube channels, actually, not just one. Do you want to just say a little bit about all your channels before we get into it?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a mess now, but when they started, that Surprise Witness TV was more of a streaming commentary channel, and BJ Investigates was kind of like a high production documentary style videos. But then, you know, they both have changed and morphed. So now it's just like, yeah, I have two channels and I just like kind of go where the wind blows with what goes on which one.
All right. So the channel links for BJ Corville are in the description box below this video. Please go down and support and subscribe. And if you've got questions in, this is going to get really interesting. If you've got any questions, put them in the chat and I will get them over. All right. So we're just going to start out then, because we've had all this legal information come out, all these 6 out of the 120. And I saw you've done some fantastic work on them. I've been reading over the docs, about 20 pages each long on average. Can I just get your first impressions when you're reading over those documents, please?
It's just all starting to sound very familiar. And I don't know about you, but it's starting to become difficult to kind of keep which person made which allegation separate, because there is so much overlap. And then there was also a Kanye West lawsuit that was filed recently and then amended just the other day. And in that amendment, she talks about Diddy parties and getting harmed at a Diddy party. And it's like that lawsuit also sounds exactly the same. That's my first impression. It's just like getting hit over the head over and over with the same type of allegations.
So as you're reading the allegations then, did you see a method that kind of was getting repeated employed by Diddy and alleged co-conspirators?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you said alleged, because, you know, as we know, people are innocent until it's kind of been proven guilty. And a lot of these allegations are just that they don't have evidence yet attached that we can see as the public. I definitely saw a pattern among those six lawsuits that were just filed. And one pattern that I noticed strongly, I think you were even speaking about it earlier, is that it would involve, you know, allegedly pulling the victim aside and this private, oh, we got to do a private talk. And then once they're private, then, you know, calamity ensues.
Yeah.
I also noticed that, like, I expected there to be a little more continuity among who would be victimized, but it's like, I think it may have been strategic that the lawyer even chose to do these six. I'm sure it was in some way, but I'm wondering if one of the strategies wasn't to show he would victimize people who were security, but he would also use security to victimize people. He would victimize, allegedly, according to these six lawsuits, children under the age of 18. It could be adults. It could be, you know, it could be women. It could be men. It could be anybody from anywhere. Like, I feel like the pattern is that there was really just a wide net for who could fall prey to these alleged happenings.
So out of the six lawsuits then that have just come out, what kind of stuff, like, either shocked you the most or you're thinking, wow?
I think something about that Echo Macy's back room retelling, it was just, I can't put my finger on it really, but it was just something about that particular telling of it. That one sort of cut deeper than a lot of the other ones that I've read. And I don't know why. Maybe it was because the way it was described, I'm really not sure, but it just, you can really imagine, I could really imagine, you know, the scenery of being in a back room and it's like, no one's coming to help you. And it's these three huge people and Diddy, and it's like a nightmare. And I mean, that one, it doesn't really surprise me as much. It didn't come as some type of surprise to me, but it still was shocking, I think, nonetheless.
What about the naming of the exec in the lawsuit? Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was. I was surprised by it, especially because we have Tyrone Blackburn, who's the lawyer on like the Lil Rod lawsuit against Diddy. You know, he named a lot of names, and the names he didn't name, he gave enough clues to figure out who it was within a person or two. And, you know, now he's facing some type of disciplinary action because of that. So it seems like the lawyers in this case would be on high alert not to be just dropping names around. And the fact that he did name that name, and I think it may have, he may have some protection there because he's suing Macy's as well. And so maybe it's like, well, I'm suing you. So it's not just naming a name, like you're getting sued.
And this plaintiff had worked there for years. They wouldn't let him come back in the bloody store. Couldn't believe it.
And I don't know if you've been over there to that Macy's and, you know, it's like right there in Times Square, right there off, you know, Herald Square, wherever it is. It's like the whole building is the Macy's. So he couldn't go onto the whole city block. If he can't go into the Macy's, the whole building is the Macy's building.
Yeah. So a lot of people that we've had on have drawn parallels between the Epstein case and the Diddy case. Do you see any parallels?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. But, you know, I just want to be careful to say that seeing a parallel doesn't necessarily mean they had something to do with each other. You could compare things, you know, just for the audience and legal liability. You can compare things and not be saying they are, in fact, connected or related. But, yo, yeah, I mean, just the geography of the whole thing alone. Right, like right off the coast of Florida, right there, and right Diddy had been was right across the little harbor from a shipping container plant. You know, those things are a little bit, and then you know, just the types of allegations. And at first, I think you know, I don't want to, you know, I try to keep the terms and conditions happy, so we're trying to, you know, say things in a certain way. But I think there was a lot of attention paid in the Epstein cases to minors. And it is easy to kind of forget that it wasn't just only minors. It was, you know, people that were adults as well claiming to have been harmed. And also that I feel like was a little opposite in this case where it was like adults, adults, adults. But now it's starting in Diddy's case to be like, okay, and there's some the 16-year-old now it's in court filings. It isn't just a rumor. It isn't just Lil Rod saying it on behalf of the somebody else. It's like the person who said it happened to them was a minor. And so I mean, there's a lot of parallels I could see for sure.
What about the theories that to avoid big names coming out that Diddy might end up the same as Jeffrey?
I mean, really, who am I to say? I wasn't there. I don't even really know what happened to Jeffrey, to be honest. So could Diddy meet a similar fate? I should hope not. I should hope that he'll have to stand trial for these allegations. And I wish that Jeffrey would have had to stand trial as well, because I think that at the very least, people deserve some transparency and some answers, even though I know these people will probably lie on the stand.
All right. So we've got over 1,000 watching live now across all platforms. And with BJ Corville, she's got multiple YouTube channels. Links are in the description box below this video. Please check out her work and subscribe. I've been watching the videos all day. Fantastic. You got away with words, very charismatic. And one of the videos I was honing in on was the one about Piers Morgan versus Beyonce and Jay-Z. Because I've got Jaguar coming on tomorrow, live and uncensored.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you were saying about Pierce, big heavyweight media guy, kind of shouldn't have backed down and done the apology. Is that what you think?
Well, I would never, pretend to tell Pierce Morgan what he should do. But I would not have apologized if it were me. Absolutely not. Sorry for what? Letting somebody that's a firsthand, literally she said, prefaced the whole thing with saying, I'm not saying this as firsthand knowledge. Somebody told me, no, I'm saying it as my experience. I'm not apologizing for letting somebody say the truth. Now, look, listen, am I saying I was there and I can confirm and validate? No, I was not. I was not there. I do not know. But if somebody was there, I'm letting them say it and I'm not sorry about it. Take it up with her. You know what I mean? That's what I think Pierce should have said.
All right. I need to discuss this further because I've had a situation in this country about 4 years ago. A podcast guest came on and said somebody was one of those people who harm kids, a PDF file.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was no criminal allegation against this person. There was no indictment. There was no conviction. Now, a legal letter came to me and the podcast guest saying you're liable as the publisher. This is meritless. There's no court case. There's no documentation. And the guest is liable for saying it. So the guest decided to fight the case. My legal advisor said, just get the hell out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Because there is no documentation. And you don't end up like Katie Hopkins. You know, she said something and they took everything she's got. They took her house. They took everything. So I got the hell out of the way. The guest who fought the case is still embroiled in a legal battle to this day that has cost an immeasurable amount of money and time and resources. So my point is, if Jaguar said something that she doesn't have a court case for, did Pierce do the right thing? Because couldn't they have just sued the hell out of him and took everything he's got?
Okay. So you this is right up my alley. I love talking about this stuff. So I want to just preface it. I know it sounds like I'm doing a lot of disclaiming because I have to. I have actually been one of these people that's been sued and embroiled and embattled. So I've got to just preface. I cannot give legal advice. I'm not giving legal advice to you or anybody listening. If you need legal advice, go hire a lawyer because it ain't me. Okay. So just my opinion is, you know, did Piers Morgan do the right thing is a little bit of a moral or a philosophical question. And it is interesting because I am a United States citizen and United States of America. It does seem as though where Piers is based, there the defamation laws are also different. So I don't believe from what I've heard, I mean, I have not done any research, but from what I've heard, it's a little stricter over there where, you know, Pierce is based or whatever with the laws on defamation, you can actually get in trouble easier. Whereas in the United States, we have developed a system of, you know, precedent in the United States based on the First Amendment of the Constitution that generally we're allowed to talk about things in the public interest, things of public concern. And if you have a big platform, then you really should be able to talk about these things in the public interest. Now, you know, purely legally, yeah, you're allowed to let someone say something on your podcast, but then it does, yeah, it comes down to a lot of these minutiae, you know, the minute details, like you mentioned, she called him a PD, you know, F. So because she called him that, it does necessarily implicate not only that he's committed a crime or that he's a criminal, but also like a particularly heinous crime that we would all really judge you for. It isn't like, oh, he had a little baggie of, you know, a plant or something. You know, this is a totally separate situation, which would harm someone's reputation if it were said as a fact. You know, that person is a fill in the blank is a statement of fact. It's not saying, I think, or I bet, or I wouldn't be surprised if, because we're allowed to say what we think. Now, let's say we get past that whole hurdle and, you know, someone's allowed to say it. You, like you just said, someone can get sued and have to pay a lot of money for things. And so for me, it comes down to your risk tolerance. And that isn't always even necessarily a choice that people have. Like if you work for a network, then you're not going to have a choice of whether you're going to take something down or not. In my situation, I don't work for anybody except the Lord. So if I take something down, it's because the Lord said and only. I mean, I'm not taking nothing down. So take it up with him. And I have been sued and I have won I have 100% winning streak and I will continue to win because I don't say defamatory things. I say things as if they are thoughts or opinions or speculations or psychic visions from the mothership.
So do you represent yourself then when you get sued?
No, I have lawyers. That's their job. My job is to do this.
Okay. So you're saying then in my situation, a line was crossed because of the heinousness of the allegation that podcast guest said.
Well, I'm saying it could have been. I really don't know. You know, it's all this stuff would have to be decided by a judge. I'm just kind of speculating.
Yeah. Okay.
But I could see why your legal counsel said, Okay, because she said that, and it isn't just saying, oh, I saw MJ walking at the red light. It's something like particularly heinous. And she said it as if it's a fact. But like what I would have done is I would have said, all right, well, you're saying that as if it is a fact and we don't have evidence for it. I just need to say that. But you're saying that you believe that. I would have corrected her or something, but that's, you know, there's no way you could have known that, especially 4 years ago, or even if that would have worked. That's the thing I've learned. You learn all this theory in law school, and then you get out into the world and you realize people lie in court. They'll sue you for anything. They're sore losers when they lose. It's like, it's nobody's playing by the rules out here. So it's a free for all. Who knows? They could sue us for anything. That's why I just keep going. I just keep going. And I guess that's a long-winded way to say, I have chosen to kind of fall on the sword of free speech. And I have done that, done so out of faith. And it's a scary situation. But I'm trying to learn methods and ways to decrease any fear that I feel, because if I live in the United States of America, we supposed to be able to say our thoughts and our opinions on stuff. And I cannot in fact do that. Then that means that that doesn't exist as a freedom. And I'm perfectly willing to fall on that sword.
Yeah. So in my situation, the podcast guest was saying these things based on her expertise, which I had no knowledge of. So the legal letter that came to me acknowledged that and said, if you take the video down and do an apology video retracting that, you're out the way. And that's what I did. If I'd have stood up for that person, what they'd said, I'd probably be, we would have been bankrupted.
Well, you know what else, Sean, that comes to my mind is a totally different situation from an evidentiary's perspective as well, because she was saying that something was the case. Like she was saying, I have proof that he is a fill in the blank because I'm an expert. So the person was saying, no, I'm not. And she has no proof I am. But in the Jaguar Wright situation, what Jay-Z and Beyonce were saying is that they never at any point ever did such and such thing, right? It's easy for you to see that the person who made the statement had no evidence for it. It was like her expertise could be evidence or it could not. You have no knowledge of it. Whereas Jaguar Wright saying, I was there and I saw it myself, that's a different type of evidence. It's a firsthand witness saying that a fact happened versus an interpretation of someone's mental state. So I can see how that's way different, actually. And I probably would have told you to just take the video down too if it was an allegation of fact like that. Because I don't want to say anything untrue. That's really always the caveat. I will take something down if you give me proof that it's not true. I don't want to be saying something not true. If you give me proof it's not true, but they didn't give Pierce Morgan any proof it wasn't true. For you, it's like, okay, well, what's the proof it is true? You didn't even ever understand that evidence in the first place. That's different than I'm a firsthand witness and I saw it happen. I think, I don't know. It's like these legal, you know, getting in the weeds, but I think that your situation wasn't quite the same. And if someone approached me and said, I have evidence it's not true, or you stated something as a fact, that is a heinous crime. Can you please take that down? Like, I think that's a little bit of a different situation.
Gotcha. Okay, good. Lots of people are asking as to why Jaguar wasn't getting served.
I'd love to have you ask Jaguar that tomorrow. I mean, I'd love to know.
I will, but I'll say one thing, because I was going to sue someone at one point in time, and they do a credit check. And if the person's credit is upside down, if they've got criminal history, if they're moving addresses, all if they've got shadiness, if there's no pot of gold, basically, it costs so much money to sue someone in this country. And I imagine it's 10 times more in America. If there's no pot of gold for them to liquidate, to pay the legal fees and to pay whatever the judge is going to order, there's no point in doing it, because the person can just, there's nothing there, is there? They can just file bankruptcy or get out of it somehow?
Yeah, well, I mean, getting money is only one reason that people sue. Some people sue knowing they're never going to get money from the defendant, but they do it because they want a judgment. They want to be able to say, that person defamed me. It's in the court. And to discredit any allegation that person makes going forward. That's worth a lot of money to the right corporation for the right defendant. Another reason people sue is to, you know, the pain is the punishment is the process, or the process is the punishment. It is, as you know, very stressful to be in litigation. And financially draining. And even if they are never going to get money, they just want to take your money. I mean, this is how these sick freaks think. So for somebody like you and me, where it's like, why does someone sue? This altruistic reason. Oh, it's to get, you know, compensated for them being wrong. No, I mean, there's people out here doing weird stuff to torture you and to harass you also.
All right. We've got almost 2,000 watching live across all platforms. I'm here with BJ Corville. The multiple YouTube channel links are in the description box. Please get your questions in the chat while we are live. So Nikki is asking for your thoughts on Diddy's alleged tunnels.
I wouldn't be surprised to find out there's tunnels under there. I personally, before I would say there is or isn't, I would need to see, you know, some zoning map, something, some type of proof somewhere, somehow. And I'm not saying there isn't any. I have not gone down this particular research tentacle myself yet.
Yeah, I've not. I've looked at some of the maps, but I've not done a deep dive. All right, Susan, what I haven't heard from anyone is the possibility of victims dying ODing on the substances such as the horse substance or the G. How many have died from this stuff? Well, I don't know how to ascertain that, really.
That's way outside my jurisdiction, Susan. So sorry. I just found out even what Trank is when I was reading the Diddy lawsuits. I really don't know.
All right. Thanks for the questions, guys. Keep them coming. And we've got one from Julie. Will you be following Jonathan Odie and looking into his case more? Because he was in court, wasn't he, yesterday, I think?
I went to the court hearing.
Oh, you watched it?
I was at it. I was in there.
You were at it?
Yeah. Well, on Zoom. I was in this office. But yeah, okay. I was on Zoom. And I made a video about it on BJ Investigates if y'all want to go watch it. Like I did like a rundown, you know, from my notes. This. But you can't record in there and you can't, you know, audio, video and all that. So I'm just like furiously scribbling like cortisol through the roof, trying to get everything they're saying down. And of course I missed stuff. I was in there and they had the camera set up in such a way that you could only see the judge and like one judicial assistant, but they did not have the camera set up to where you could see the gallery. So I could not see in there if Jonathan Oddie was in there, and I could not see if the lawyers for him were in there. But what I can say is it doesn't seem like they transported the people that were being held in the jail to this court. It doesn't seem like they transported any of them there because they have to do all this special, like get the permission from the van company and the, you know, it's unions and it's like 6 days notice with government holidays not included. And it's like, you know, all this stuff. So I don't think he was in there. But what I found really interesting was his lawyer couldn't be there, and like some like spokesperson instead of his lawyer was there, and it's like, I don't know, it's just kind of getting a little, I haven't been keeping up with the case. Actually, two of my subscribers were like, thankfully, like they were very persistent and reminding me it was coming up. They both sent me links, and then so I was able to jump in there. But there was a good bit of time that the judge turned the microphone and the camera off, and she was like, oh, we'll go off the record. And she goes off the record and it was like, I don't know, like 3 to 5 minutes. And then she comes back on and it's like, next thing you know, there's no more Jonathan Oddie talk. And then the case is rescheduled for now again, November 15th. But one thing that the like spokesperson lawyer did say was that something about it. Now they're talking about a plea. And he said he may not be ready to plea in 30 days, but let's just put it on the calendar. And it's like, now we're pleading? What's going on here? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, watching the video of him, the police interview, what stood out to you the most about that video?
Let me think. Just how, like, his allegations of the specifics of Diddy and Cassie years before these lawsuits, right? And it was like, I bet you whenever everybody saw this the first time, it was, he's crazy, he's schizophrenic, lock him away. And isn't it interesting how a lot of that stuff lines right perfectly up, not only with the Cassie and the Lil Rod lawsuits, but like with the, I don't know, 16, 18, I don't even know what we're up to at this point. Another one was just filed this morning, I think. And she talks about the oil and getting doused with oils.
And the cop was like just looking at him like he was crazy and just trying to get it back to, hey, I want to know about you, your mind frame. What made you do this? Let's stop talking about Diddy. But it seems particularly relevant, doesn't it, with hindsight?
You know, at the risk of sounding like, you know, among the ranks of the crazies, which I probably am. Proudly. You know, it's like, let's say, I've said this before on my channel, let's say we live in a world, let's just pretend for, let's transport ourselves to the dimension for 5 seconds, just maybe 30 seconds, where we live in the world where, like, I don't know, maybe a celebrity could actually be abusing somebody in a heinous way, like sexually, right? Let's just say we live in that matrix for a couple seconds. Okay, so there's a victim, and what are they going to do? Where are they going to go? Who are they going to tell? If it's like, for example, like P. Diddy or like Beyonce, let's say Beyonce was stalking someone. We live in that matrix for 5 seconds. If Beyonce's stalking someone and she goes to the LAPD and they're like, hey, I'm a homeless man and Beyonce's stalking me, what do you think's going to happen? They're going to say, get out of here, you old coot. And they might put you in a solitary. So, and you know, I started with a lot of this stuff with the Free Britney movement. I don't know how much you know about the Free Britney movement, if you covered it or anything, or no. The case. But, you know, the heart and soul of the case is they said in court, Britney Spears at 26 years old had dementia. They checked a box that said dementia right by it. And they said, we're going to prove it to you by the time we come in for a hearing, which is like 3 days later. Well, the 3 days comes and goes. They put her in a conservatorship. It's temporary. Then it becomes permanent. And, you know the rest. And 13 years goes by and no doctor ever gave proof Britney Spears had dementia. So they lied. And not only that, you can trace back, go look at CNN. You can trace back, go look at all these Hollywood Life, this and that.coms and this and that. And they all saying Britney needs this conservatorship. She's happier and better now than ever. Come to find out, she said she was being ST'd. So I think that just so radically, just fundamentally, right out of law school, right as I was graduating law school and studying for the bar exam, I was learning that these people will lie in court. They will lie. So you just have to start out with the fundamental understanding that you have no idea if someone's lying in court because they will do it. And because I feel like I know that, now it's not so hard for me to believe that maybe, you know, even I love the saying, even a broken clock is right 2 times a day. You know, it's 2 times a day. It's right. So even if his bread don't even run, it's still right 2 times a day. Like at least a Jonathan Oddie might be saying 2 things and y'all need to listen up instead of calling everybody crazy. Just saying.
Yeah. If people haven't seen the Jonathan Oddie police interview, it's very compulsive watching. It's something else. Cause you know, the cop's just not listening to what he's trying to tell him. And he's really trying to tell him.
Listen, there's some stuff that he says that I'm like, it's a little hard to believe. Nothing. I can't think of any specifics right now, but I do remember watching it live and being like, okay, I can't fully like be like, yeah, like with all this stuff. Like, I don't remember anything off the top of my head, but you know what I mean? It was like, I didn't know.
Kanye-esque. All right. Angel, does BJ think this is linked Britney and Diddy's PA?
What's PA?
Yeah, can you expand on that, please? Because I'm trying to figure that out as well. Let's go to this one. Does BJ think Kanye is involved or guilty of any crimes? Because we've seen this lawsuit, the Lauren lawsuit, come out.
Uh-huh. I couldn't say. I wasn't there. I haven't seen any evidence that Kanye has committed any crimes. But they are alleged in that lawsuit, so we'll have to see as discovery goes on.
Are you an expert on MK Ultra?
I mean, I've dabbled in the declassified files from time to time. I would hardly call myself an expert on really anything except getting sued and winning. But listen, here's one thing that y'all need to understand about MK Ultra is that they have declassified the files. All right. They put it out there to the public what they did. Okay. So even if the government isn't doing it anymore, which is up for debate, let's say they're not, they don't put it out there what the guidelines are. So any old Tom, Dick, or Harry could just pick them up and learn them. Your mama could pick it up and learn it tomorrow. Okay. So was she subjected to MK Ultra is a really broad statement. I mean, they MK Ultra over there on the Mr. Beast because they burying people alive and disrupting their sleep patterns and keeping them off of nutritional foods and keeping them, you know, away from any natural light. And it's like, well, that's what they did to disorient these people. But is it the CIA doing it? I mean, girl, possibly, I don't know, but probably, you know, even if it's not, like, we all got MK Ultra'd if you watch like Nick at Night, girl. I mean, if you watch like Cartoon Network anytime between 1998 and 2005, you got MK Ultra'd. Hate to tell you. Courage the Cowardly Dog, please. I'm joking. Everything I say is a joke. Fact check everything I say. We need fact checkers.
You've got a lot of people asking about Lou Taylor.
Whoo, child. Lou Taylor and I have a personal entanglement.
Who is Lou?
Lou Taylor, Louise Mary Sawyer Taylor, born in Rochester, New York. She is P. Diddy's financial business manager.
Oh.
She's the one Cardi B has to text to see how much she still owes on her house and make sure she's not about to be bankrupt. And she was one of the masterminds behind Britney Spears' conservatorship. And she put Britney's money into her very own investment firm, paid herself fees from every which way. It was a whole fiasco, this woman. She's very, very powerful. Very powerful in Hollywood. And, you know, she even has, like, international clients, Priyanka Chopra. She has Jason Derulo, Meghan Trainor, P. Diddy, J-Lo, Steven Tyler, Aerosmith. I mean, the list really goes on. She was had Justin Bieber. He fired her last year or something. So she had a bunch of conflicts of interest. And in Britney's conservatorship, she was responsible for reporting to the court how they were spending Britney's money. And that would be like reporting to the court how she was managing Britney's money. And for, you know, like 10 or 11, maybe 13, 12 years, 10 or 11 years that went on. And then, you know, the, you know what hits in 2019, things kind of slow down. We all go on our, you know, pause separate ways on the TikTok doom scrolling and every other thing else. And that's whenever I became aware Britney was in a conservatorship and I start looking into Lou Taylor. I see all these conflicts. It's all public record. And I start explaining it to people. And then, you know, I don't know. It's such a time warp. What is time during that period, especially? But eventually I start working at a law firm as a lawyer, a big law firm in Manhattan. And I was working there like the first or second week. I got invited to do an interview on CNN for Free Britney. And I didn't want to do it without getting my boss's permission. So I asked the firm to give me permission. And I'm like, okay, but listen, there's this lady. She sues people. So I don't want her coming over here trying to sue. And my boss was like, it's fine. Well, let me tell you, 2 months later, here she is hiring that law firm, hiring them and saying, can you tell her to delete all the videos about me? Oh, she won't do that. Okay, fine. Can you tell her to delete all the videos where she's specifically talking about Stonebridge Investment Counsel, the firm that she had put Britney Spears' money in? I mean, super long story short, it's like a four-year long story. Okay, but like that's the long and short of it. But like it demonstrates, first of all, why people don't say anything. People out here asking, why don't anybody say anything? Why don't anybody speak up? Well, look what's happened to me when I spoke up and I could absorb it. You know, I'm highly educated and thank God blessed and all of that. I was able to handle it. But I mean, a lot of people just can't and it's really not their fault. And then on top of that, the people, some people can and they don't have the gumption or whatever, you know, and I can't fault them for it. It's been hard. But that's the type of thing these people's doing. They're bullies. And they were saying all kind of stuff that I don't think was true. They didn't give any evidence to my law firm. They were just like, oh, take our word for it. And I'm like, for what? There's literally public evidence against what they're saying. It was horrible. It was horrible. And I was like a brand new lawyer. I was just brand new. And these are like the high levels at the firm. And so Lou Taylor, she sues fans. She's sued fans in the past. You know, TriStar Sports and Entertainment, the company she owns, it's the name of the company, and her like BFF right-hand person is Robin Greenhill, who was named in the Lil Rod lawsuit as the person who's passing out the cash payments to the S workers, including Daphne Joy. So I don't know if that's true. That could be a false statement and a lie, but it's interesting that she came up in that way.
Wow, that is fascinating. And you got a follow-up question from Bad Monkey. Was this Lou involved in trying to manage Miley?
I don't know off the top of my head. I think that I know that it was Larry Rudolph was involved, which was another member of Britney's team, but I don't know that I've found, maybe, I don't remember. Will Jay-Z be prosecuted? I was surprised. I'm surprised Diddy was prosecuted. I'm still surprised that they didn't let him out on bail. So I don't know, Ariel Mitchell.
Dan Schneider.
I don't think I think any trouble Dan Schneider was ever going to get in, he already got in it on the quiet on set, which he did sue that documentary. Did you know that?
No.
That Quiet on Set documentary, he sued them in a lawsuit. I don't know what the, I haven't looked at it in a couple months, but he did sue them for like defamation and stuff.
All right, it's time to go over to Kim Porter then. I read the book.
Did you?
I had Chris Todd was on the channel. I don't know if he's authenticated it with the metadata yet. He said he was going to. I'm not aware if he has. But yeah, harrowing read. Have you read it? What are your thoughts first?
It's sitting right there. No, because you know, I even made a thumbnail and everything, and I was going to go live and read it all day one day. And that very morning, I'll Be Sure posted that it was fake and harmful. And I just like every time I pick it up, I just get disgusted. But I do think because it is up for debate whether it is authentic or not, I should read it. I haven't read it. But I have there. Before they took it offline, I got one.
Kim, Pierce, who was it that retracted? Because the kids came out, didn't they? The kids came out and said it was all nonsense. But, I mean, you wouldn't want to read your mama describing herself doing those things. No kid would want to read that. So I completely understand why they would have a visceral reaction to that.
Well, but I mean, they could think they're telling the truth. The truth is that a lot of the stuff she's describing in that book happened before they were even in existence. So how could they know? They might really be telling the truth in their mind. Oh, my mom could have never done that or whatever. But it's like, that don't mean that it didn't happen because y'all weren't there.
Exactly. So people were saying it was bunk because the kid said it was bunk, but I don't think that is a good rebuttal. But I don't know if it's authentic myself until, you know, the metadata is done. All right. So Martha, ask BJ to share Kim Porter's autopsy report. If you get someone with medical background expert, it's very telling. I understand some have medical background. Ooh, let's go to, please.
Yeah, I can share that. Like now, or what do you like? How should I do
that? Yeah, go for it. We've got about 20 minutes left. So take your time and people get your questions in. We've got 2,500 watching live across all the platforms.
Actually, let's see.
Get your questions in. That's just so funny one then. Are the Island Boys MK Ultra gone wrong?
Oh, okay. So the Kim Porter autopsy report is they send it in a paper copy and I never did scan it. So I don't actually like have it like that.
Have you memorized it?
No, I have. I mean, I have one page of it, you know, here, but I don't know if that's of any use.
Okay. Summary well, just give your general thoughts then from looking at that material. What do you think?
I mean, I didn't go to medical school. That's probably why Martha probably watched my channel and watched me going, if anybody knows how to read an autopsy. it's weird to me they didn't bring her to a hospital at all. And the doctor that what was his name? Farzam. The doctor they had was one of these literally these cheesy like 1-800 call the doctor on call doctors with a cheesy commercial. And it's like, I don't think if my cat was dying, I would call that guy. And it's like, who? No offense. I mean, but it just, you know, I mean, what do you mean? And it's like, you know, they were so quick to report it as pneumonia. And it's, again, there's no way they could have known that. Why would you report something as pneumonia when y'all don't know yet? It makes it seem like once it is pneumonia, like, why did they know that so early? Like, it was impossible for all these everything to have been done at that point. And it's like, why is it being definitively said that she died from? And then they said she was dying from the flu. She didn't even have one flu speck or trace in the whole thing. And it's like, now some people have said something about a golden casket that Diddy had pre-ordered this golden casket and it takes 3 weeks for it to come in. I don't know if that's true, but it is a very persistent rumor that I hear a lot.
Yeah, and in Kim's lost words, she claims that the guy she got with, her new boyfriend, died from pneumonia at the hands of Diddy, and that Diddy was coming for her. And the book kind of ends with her getting sick and describing that she's sick and the house is getting broken into and she's getting followed around and she thinks Diddy's about to take her out.
Listen, if even half the stuff they're saying about Diddy, 25% in these lawsuits, I could see why somebody might be scared of him or scared of crossing him in his prime and his mayday. I ain't scared of nothing and nobody, but I could see why, you know, somebody might be, especially when you have all these entanglements, like he's the father of your children and probably all kind of other, they were together for a long time and then they weren't together, but they were still entangled. I mean, I found the other day through the help of one of my subscribers that Diddy owns copyrights for like Kim Porter's stuff, the Three Brown Girls. And it's like, interesting. How is that set up to default or what? Like, is that in a trust or like what? What's that about? I'm curious.
People are wondering whether you know what happened to the coroner.
Your guess good as mine.
There's speculation in the chat that he died as well.
You know, I wanted to believe that one, and I might still a little bit, but I was unable to confirm that Ed Winter, based on the autopsy report, that Ed Winter was involved in the case at all. His name doesn't appear on it. Now, it could be an amended one. I don't know.
The coroner has been unalived as well from Kim's passing, people are saying. All right, Scouse, the Diddy tapes. Will the Diddy tapes go into the Bermuda Triangle like the Epstein tapes, do you think, BJ?
So this is up for debate right now in court, how they're going to handle some of this evidence. And they've entered into, you may have talked about it. They've entered into this agreement on both sides, the government and Diddy side, of how they're going to handle certain evidence. And one of the ways they're going to handle evidence that has any type of S explicit or, you know, unclothedness in a S-U-L way, it will be for attorneys' eyes only, which is a very strict designation. It means Diddy cannot even look at it without signing like a paper or something. I'm going to go over the document on my channel and then I'll be able to explain it like with more certainty. I'm just kind of like spitballing. I just kind of skimmed it yesterday, but it's an ethical question to me. I could see both sides, a pattern for me. If you're one of the people on the tapes and God forbid it's like, you know, a minor, and God forbid it's a minor who's on a substance, I don't think we should see that at all. I don't think anyone should really see it. And then it's like, but I also see how it's like, well, we do need definitive proof to the people, to the public, that stuff happened. But it's like, I don't know. So, I mean, I think a lot of the tapes, we never going to see them, never. And I think some of that will be because good reasons. And I hope that's the only reasons. But then it's like, who's the judge? You know, two reasonable minds can disagree on even what I just said, even that specific example. And now let's say it's a S worker who drank the drink knowing what was in it. And, you know, whatever. It's like there's points on this spectrum. It's a difficult ethical question. I'm glad that I'm not in charge of deciding how to answer it.
Do you think it will go to trial or his legal team, they're just putting on a brave face?
I don't know. I will say I would have said no, never, not a chance. Something's going to happen. Someone else going to take the fall. He's going to do a plea deal. Like initially that's what I would have said, but I again am so surprised and taken aback. And yeah, I didn't expect for like court after court after court to say no bail, you're in there. So I'm leaving an open mind for it. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that that's going to happen, but I'll be over there talking about it if it does.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards it not going to trial because the outcome of something happening to him, the outcome of a plea bargain. Most cases do go to plea bargain. And I think with Jeffrey, you know, if there had been a trial and someone puts like Bill Clinton's name in the court documents at trial, I mean, there are people so powerful in this world, they can't allow that to happen, that possibility to happen. So I don't know how powerful the people are above Diddy, but I'm sure it's not in their best interest for it to go to trial.
That's the thing too. It's like the public is, I believe, expecting somebody and some people to face some type of accountability for this, these F off type of parties. And oh man, it's such a difficult thing because I think the public knows it's more than just Diddy. I think everybody knows deep down in our heart and soul that it's like probably most of these high level, whatever. It's like you actually get kicked out of the industry. You get kicked out the party if you don't drink the drink. So, I mean, I think a lot of us are aware. I think we just want the pound of flesh. I think that's what it is. So somebody's got to go down. And I think it is going to need to be somebody that's going to satisfy the public. Like, yes, like the whole entire Viacom or like the whole entire like two executives that are worth $10 billion or something. Like, it's going to have to be somebody's got to go down. And I think right now they all just doing the standoff, pointing at each other, and loyalties are being tested. And it's that, you know, that Game of Thrones type of archetypes just come right back up every time over and over.
All right. We've got just over 10 minutes left with BJ Corville. Get your final questions in, folks. And a few people are asking about Corey Gamble and in the, him being there at Kim Porter's time of death.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was there at the time of death. Based on the public documents, he's not actually mentioned in there. It's pictures that were taken by, like, you know, paparazzi style, you know, journalists or whatever from off the grounds that caught Corey Gamble there, seemingly in the aftermath of the passing. I do not know that there's any proof or evidence that he was there when she passed. But I mean, will I be surprised to find it out? No, I will not.
Do we know who was there when she passed?
She had like a niece or a goddaughter in a bed with her, who got up that morning, I believe, like 8:30 or something to leave and go to work. It was about a few hours after that that Kim Porter was found unresponsive. They found some Ambien that was not prescribed to her. In her nightstand, there was like, you know, blood or something on her pillow or something. But who was there? I think her kids and somebody else she was sharing the house with. And then that niece slash goddaughter. According to the, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But according to what they told the police and what's in these public incident reports.
Question from Hota. Can the Cassie video be used against him even after she already settled the case with him?
That's a good question, because there's two big issues with that tape right now. One, this, right? Like, can it be used against him if she settled the case? Yes, strictly speaking, is the answer to that, because her settling the case in a civil lawsuit against two private individuals, which would be Cassie and Diddy, is not the same thing as the government having evidence. But there's a bigger issue. There's a bigger issue with that tape, and that is that Diddy's lawyer is claiming the government had leaked that. It's actually the federal government leaked that tape to CNN. Not only that, but for the purpose of tarnishing Diddy's reputation in the public or whatever. And that was supposed to be private evidence from the grand jury. That's what Agnifilo has said, Diddy's lawyer. So the question of can they use that tape at all is up for debate right now.
SP's asking, if he pleads guilty, why would they need a trial?
They won't,
exactly. Yeah. It would avoid a trial, wouldn't it? Would you like to see it go to trial, though? The fireworks.
I mean, I guess I don't really have a preference. I I'm trying to work on being more optimistic as a, you know, a life goal right now, but I am a little bit cynical with this so-called justice system. I do think that Diddy, in my personal belief, innocent until proven guilty, I do think he probably did some untoward things. I do not approve of what he did in that hallway for certain. I think that was savage. I think that was monstrous, but that's not what he's being tried for. So, I mean, I think there's bigger fish to fry. I think Diddy was probably also, in my opinion, this is just a speculation, probably also victimized in some way, shape, or form, or compromised in some way, shape, or form pretty early in his career. And it's like, you know, is it going to be really, is it going to be any justice if he goes, if it goes to trial? Like, maybe, you know, I don't want to discount that for the victims who alleged victims would be, you know, cathartic to see. What do I personally want? It's neither here nor there. I'm just watching.
Speaking of bigger fish, then, do you know anything about Clive Davis, or is he too high up?
I think it just depends. I think it's like, you know, I don't know if you ever watched that show, probably Survivor, where it's like they're all scrambling right before they go and vote. And like they might all think they're going in with a certain plan, but like stuff shifts based on things that are kind of outside of people's control. Oh, he got a special ticket to a so-and-so. He's friends with the Prince of Saudi Arabia, whatever. You know, like people are probably shuffling right now because I don't really think it is a strict hierarchy like a ladder. Like, I don't think it's a pyramid. I think it's a web. And one thing that happens over there is affecting something over here in a way that maybe isn't so linear. And I think for that reason, it's hard to say who's too big. Somebody big's going to come down for this in the next 5-7 years. But I don't think anybody knows yet who it's going to be. I think they play in Game of Thrones over there.
Yeah, Ryan Dawson's Epstein map came to mind when you described that. All right, so Manuel, given your background in law and considering all the hideous things he has been accused of, why would you be surprised that he kept getting denied bail? It seems odd given the industry.
Because in, you know, the American just a criminal justice system, it's kind of certain fundamental things are supposed to be based on. And whenever you take someone's freedom indefinitely or, you know, for months and months on end without actually really having a trial, it's considered to be pretty drastic. So especially when somebody has money and enough money to hire like these really smart, quick, trained lawyers who have a history and a track record of like basically doing the impossible, I've just come to expect that those guys are able to maneuver the system because they understand it better than any of us. And that's why I'm surprised, but I think it's fair. I think it's fair considering like the propensity for violence and the long standing ongoing allegations that Diddy uses other people to do his dirty work. Is allegations, we don't know. But I think with those two things combined, and also, Diddy was getting on a plane when they were raiding. You know, back in March, I didn't realize this. His own lawyer said that in a recent filing, that Diddy was getting on a plane to go on a trip for spring break with his family when they did the raids. So it's like, given all of that stuff, I see why it's fair he's in there. But that's what the reason I was surprised, because I would expect him to be able to maneuver out of it. I mean, isn't that what we've seen?
Next question is from Janet. What are you currently investigating?
Well, I just got word yesterday that I'm being investigated by a podcast producer. So what? I've been investigating that person all day.
Hold on a minute. Slow down. Don't cut this long story short. What got this podcast producer interested in you in the first place?
That's what I'm trying to investigate. That's what I'm investigating.
Who are they working for? Who's really pulling?
Well, who they say they're working for is owned by Amazon. And I mean, I've directly come for what's his name? Bezos, his square-headed girlfriend, Lauren, and then their friends with Kris Jenner. And, you know, Kris Jenner said Lauren's one of her best friends. That's like Mrs. Amazon. Then I also came after Mr. Beast and his CEO handler mother, Susan Marie King Donaldson Parisher, and they have the Beast Games, the biggest game of all time ever in history going on right now. So, I mean, I could think of a lot of reasons why somebody at a company owned by Amazon might want to be looking into me. But that I've been investigating that today. And then yesterday I was catching up on the P. Diddy filings. Like last week I went to this like class type of thing. And I was pretty much just out of the loop all week. And you know, there was so much stuff happened last week. So I'm still like catching up on all the little press conferences and things like that, trying to catch up because I really want to stay on top of the Diddy case. So that I'm always investigating all kind of little side projects. There's always something going on.
You've got too many enemies to know who's behind it.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be anybody.
Question for BJ. That woman who sued you in the clinic story, did you get her off your back permanently?
No. No, I did not. She's still coming, abusing, harassing, using the legal system vexatiously.
What got you into all this in the first place on YouTube?
Do you know what Soft White Underbelly is?
Yes.
So there was like a lady who went on Soft White Underbelly, Amanda. And she was described by Mark Leita as a crack addicted prostitute. As his words, not mine. And that was the title of one of the videos to my memory. And she was a fan favorite. People liked her.
Well, she's 13 years old.
No. That's Nova. That's a different one. This is 2 years ago this happened. Or like several years ago that Amanda went on there. But she was a fan favorite. People loved her. And Mark teamed up with this lady to help Amanda. They raised money from the audience, thousands of dollars. And they got Amanda into this basically like treatment. She couldn't leave for a whole year. If she would leave, she would go to jail. And she was all trapped up in that. And then, she agreed to go, but it also was kind of like they're the ones that called the cops on her too in the first place. Like it kind of felt a little bit set up. She dies. Amanda dies in the treatment center. And the lady who Mark had teamed up with to help Amanda comes on to announce this, talks about it, says Amanda died. She didn't have any drugs in her system. Only thing in her system was Tylenol. And she'll be back later to say, you know what, you know, she knows for sure it wasn't drug related, right? So like literally months goes by. That's May. It's like, does it come out till December? The lady comes back on the channel and says, I got the autopsy results. You know, the title of the video is Amanda Autopsy Results. So she's like, I'm just going to read word for word of what we got. The cause of death was marked as a seizure disorder. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. The lady died in rehab from a seizure. She had never had seizures before. That's just interesting to me. Why? Why did she all of a sudden have a seizure? So I requested her autopsy report. And would you be surprised to find out it didn't say one word about a seizure? This lady had said all kind of stuff about trauma, the trauma to her brain, the brain trauma on the streets, and she was just homeless too long. That's why she died. And it's like her cause of death was clearly marked as a cardiac arrhythmia exacerbated by high blood pressure and obesity and schizophrenia. It had nothing to do with a seizure, nothing to do with epilepsy. So I started making videos about that. Like, why are these people not telling the truth? I emailed him. And I said, hey, just so you know, like I gave him benefit of that. I said, just so you know, that lady who came on your channel and said, this is how Amanda died. That wasn't true. Her cause of death had nothing to do with a seizure. I don't know why she would lie. Why would she wait months and months? Cause of death is marked as a seizure. I still to this day, Sean, I can't tell you why. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But in order to make me stop talking about the case, she sued me. And lost and sued again and lost and sued again and gonna lose. She tried to get restraining orders against me. She teamed up with other people. There's people that have filed declarations in court against me. And then they later emailed my lawyer and said, the lady changed what I wrote. I didn't even write that. Can you take it off the record? It's been like literally nightmare, like a reality show. Like, thank God I'm God's favorite. How do you survive it otherwise?
Well, power to you. Keep going.
I will.
Can you remind the viewers where they could find you and follow you and support you, please, and not sue you?
Yeah, well, yeah. If you try to sue me, it's not going to turn good for you either. I'm so sorry. But like, you can't, I mean, please don't, but you will lose. Yes, you can find me at That Surprise Witness TV on YouTube. That Surprise Witness on Instagram or BJ Investigates on everywhere as well.
Oh, well, huge thank you for spending time with us. Really appreciate drawing on your expertise and love your background as well. And, you know, hope to collaborate with you at some point in the future.
For sure. Thank you for having me on. This has been delightful.
I'm going to close the show and you have a great rest of your day. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you. Bye. What a fantastic guest. And thank you for all your questions, guys. The links for BJ's channels, the multiple channels, are at the top of the description box on YouTube. Go and subscribe. Tell her you came from here. Incentivizes the guests to come back. Thank you guys for all your questions. We've got a double whammy tomorrow night. I think it's Jaguar at 8 to 9 uncensored. Yes, I was taking notes, speaking to BJ about how far I can go uncensored. No, it's live. It's not like I can censor anything. I don't think Pierce's was live. So, yeah, we've got Jaguar live and uncensored. I think it's the first uncensored she's done. And then we've got Lionel of Lionel Nation coming on from 9 to 10. So we've got a double barrel, double whammy. It's going to be an interesting night, guaranteed. Get your questions in, folks. Subscribe to BJ. And I will see some of you tomorrow. Take care wherever you are in the world. Much love and respect. Until then. Thank you.